views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Hi, welcome to the Voices of Women show. I'm so glad to be on air today. It's a beautiful day. And we are going to talk more wow stuff. Women of Wisdom, our big conference, our annual conference. We are in our 23rd year, and it's February 12th to the 16th. And today we're going to talk about rites of passages and the goddess and yoga. It's interesting how that always comes together. I don't really look at the topics, and they always seem to be in sync because my first guest, Reverend Judith Laxer, is a founding priestess of Gaia's Temple. And does a lot of goddess work too. So that's just interesting how that always works out. So Reverend Judith has an exclusive earth-based ministry at Gaia's Temple in Seattle. She's a teacher of the mysteries and is a keynote speaker and has offered classes and workshops on the return of the divine feminine in conferences nationally. She is the author of the recently published collection of short stories entitled Along the Wheel of Time, Sacred Stories for Nature Lovers. And Judith dedicates her work to restoring the balance of female and male energies in our culture. You can look at her website and find out more about her at www.judithlaxer.com or also gaiastemple.org. And she's going to give a workshop Saturday, February 14th. It's called Our Rite for a Rite, R-I-T-E, a Blood Mysteries Ritual. So welcome, Judith.
Thank you, Chris. Hey, listen, I just want to jump in there and just make one quick correction, because when you were talking about Gaia's Temple, you said exclusive, and it's inclusive.
Did I say exclusive? My mind read inclusive. You never know what comes out of your mouth.
Yeah, I know. Crazy, right? No, it's an inclusive ministry, meaning everyone is welcome. So I just want to make sure that gets out there.
Of course. That's what I thought I said.
Well, thanks for having me on your show again, Chris. Thank you.
Yes, well, you're a frequent guest. Yeah. And of course, you're a frequent presenter at Women of Wisdom. I don't know how many years you have been at the conference. Probably
20.
Probably 20.
20th.
Oh my goodness, 20 years.
20th in a row. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Wow. Well, and you're doing a very special one this time. And people love to go to your workshops because they're often about rituals and people look for that for you. And this one in particular is about blood mystery. So we will get into that. But let's first talk about, let's describe for people what is a rite of passage ceremony and why they're important.
Yeah, well, a rite of passage is, a ceremony marks a rite of passage in sacred space. And a rite of passage is any significant event that occurs as part of a transition in our life cycle. So typical rites of passage are, when you have a baby or when you're born, when you come of age, when you get married or graduate, memorials, funerals, death, significant occurrences along the life cycle. And then the ceremonies acknowledge those in sacred space. So that brings this kind of spiritual context to the, our life experience that we all experience as we just are born and grow and live and then die, So, and I think that they're important because I'm just that type of girl who likes to make meaning of things. And I don't mean to make, I don't mean that I make meaning of things that have no meaning just for the sake of drama. But so many things that have significance to us as we go along through life just don't get acknowledged. And when we acknowledge those significant events, I think we live more empowered lives. I think we feel more confident because it orients us to where we are in our life and our, you know, as we age and part of our experience. And I think that they're really missing in our culture nowadays. You know, I mean, everybody does a baby blessing, you know, or a shower for a mother who's, you know, a baby shower for a mom who's about to give birth. We've all experienced graduations from school and weddings, of course, and funerals. I think those are still the ones that happen pretty often, but there are so many others, like this coming of age rite of passage that I'm going to be doing at WOW this year, that is so significant, particularly for women, for them to really orient into who they are as becoming women and stepping into their maturity. So I think rites of passage are really important for that sense of acknowledgement.
Yeah, and it struck me too is like accepting where you are, especially the, you know, as you go older, like having that rite of passage, you know, allows you to kind of process like, oh, I'm getting older, you know, that 50-year-old passage, that menopause passage, that Crohn passage, the death passage. I mean, you know, dealing with all of those, having that process of way to acknowledge it and
it's honoring. It's honoring it, exactly, you know, and particularly women, you know, we're not honored as we age, that's for sure. We become more and more invisible as we age in a culture that idolizes youth, you know. So I agree, they're really very important.
Well, why is it missing in our Western culture? Why did this get lost?
I think it's part of a kind of puritanical thing, because a lot of the rites of passages, particularly with regard to the blood mysteries, which is what I'm talking about here, you know, when we first begin to menstruate, as we go through menopause, all the things related to fertility, you know, they're just way too biological, way too sexual for a sort of puritanical mind that has us, you know, supposed to just pretend that we don't, you know, that we don't have our period, or that we don't have, you know, we're not experiencing these things, that we're just supposed to put that part of our lives aside and just, you know, pretend like nothing is going on. That's kind of what the culture wants us to do. And so they just kind of slowly went by the wayside. And I think that that's a sad commentary, because humans are still experiencing the same shifts and changes as we age, you know.
Well, you
so
know that
I
also
I'm feeling I'm bringing them back, you know. Well, not
me personally,
but I'm part of the wave of women who are doing that.
And that's great. And there are all over the country. There are,
right.
And it's good to seek it out, look for the people. But it strikes me, you know, all these things you're talking about, blood mysteries, and why we don't talk about them, because there's, you know, it's that besides being puritanical, there's also the shame around it. You know, it's shameful to have your periods. And what I'm seeing is interesting, because I'm going to Cambodia in another 10 days. And we're taking feminine hygiene kits there. We had enough donations. We're bringing 350 feminine hygiene kits. And they are washable feminine hygiene products of, you know, a holder that holds the pads, because they don't have these products over there.
Right.
And so they actually can't go to school 1 week out of every month. It impacts their life so much. And it's this most exciting thing when people take these to other countries, the girls just go crazy. Well, we have a mixed group going, it was men and women, and the men are just as interested in this as the women. And we're talking very openly about it. And I was even, it feels like a shift. Like up to us women are not being afraid to talk about it. I was in East West and I was mentioning something, and the guy at the counter goes, "Oh, what's Days for Girls?" which is the company that makes the feminine hygiene kits. And so I explained to him, you know, and he was a young man, and I would, you know, like in the past you'd go, "Oh, well, you know, you wouldn't want to talk about it."
Exactly. You'd be shy to bring it up. Yeah.
So, you know, I think there is a shift in that, and that having the, but we still miss that having that ceremony, that coming of age for girls. And it is in, you know, it's in tribal
so
cultures
important.
They've had it.
Yeah, it's really, really important. Yeah. And, you know, what I'm noticing also when I do these rites of passage, like for some of my clients, they'll hire me to do this for their daughter when their daughter gets their period for the first time, you know. And what I notice is that it is so emotional, mostly for the older women who never had this rite of passage, you know. The girl who's going through it is like, oh, yeah, you know, this is what happens when you become a woman, you know, like it's the most natural thing in the world. And the rest of us are like, oh, you know, so emotional because we weren't acknowledged this way. You know, we were taught how to use, you know, a sanitary napkin or a tampon and then, you know, hush, hush and pretend it's not going on. So it's, it really, I think it's helping our young women really become confident, way more aware of who they are and their fertility and that they're becoming sexual beings. You know, it's just so much healthier to just be real about it, you know.
Yes, and there's still a lot of shame around it, and there's still this. I mean, you know, there's a pill you can take, so you only have two a year or something like that.
I read that stuff, and it just drives me crazy.
Yeah, because it's you know, messy,
so
dirty. It's just you know, bothersome. You know, to have to deal with it, and instead of acknowledging it's a natural process, and I worry. Are they going to have problems with fertility later on?
Oh, you know, there's no doubt in my mind. If you're going to mess with your natural cycle like that in a chemical way, there's going to be trouble later on. I can't imagine how there wouldn't be, you know? Yeah.
Well, it's time. Yes. Well, it's time for our break. This is Chris Stainis. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more with Reverend Judith Laxer.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Reverend Judith Laxer. And we've been talking about, she's doing a rite of passage workshop at Women of Wisdom on the blood mysteries. And so let's talk a little bit more about that. And let's get into, you know, how doing this rite empowers the women and girls? And you even mentioned, like, you have the women who've been around, when you've done one for a young girl, the women are all in tears because they never had this. So can you go back and have this for yourself?
Yes, you absolutely can. It's never too late. In fact, when I had my rite of passage, I think I was already in my like mid to late 30s, and it was so profound for me because, you know, when I was a young girl, I had two older sisters, so, you know, I was in the know about everything. You know, I couldn't wait to grow up. I couldn't wait to, you know, wear lipstick, and I have not stopped ever since. And I, you know, I couldn't wait to get my period, and I couldn't wait to be a woman. I just, you know, I couldn't wait to grow up. And I remember that I did begin to menstruate when I was 12 years old at the end of that summer, and it was a very exciting thing for me. But then it just kind of like that was it. And, you know, it's like, well, here's the sanitary napkin. And there really was nothing that was significant about it. So then in my 30s, so this is long after I've discovered the goddess and I'm, you know, on this path of honoring women and every aspect of who we are in our womanly lives, including what happens for us biologically. And I have a rite of passage ceremony, and it was so significant for me. I felt like there was a part of me that had been sort of waiting for it, but I wasn't conscious of that. And then in this ceremony, to be honored and welcomed into the circle of womanhood felt like a missing piece. And then everything like a puzzle just went like click, 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 click. It all came together, and I felt more whole, I guess is the only way to say it. And then I just couldn't wait to start offering that for other women. And it's just been such a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I don't want to say too much about it in case women come and take the workshop, and I don't want to give those mysteries away. But I can tell you that it's, you know, it's kind of like it's emotional, but it's also psychological and absolutely a spiritual experience to honor yourself for who you are at your core of femininity. And it's just, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Hello? Did I lose you, Chris?
Hang on just a minute and we'll get Chris back.
Thank you.
Actually, I will take a break and we'll be back with more right after this. You're listening to Voice of the Women with Chris Stainis.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference. Join us Valentine's Day Saturday. Inheritance Maiden Mother Crone by Sinner Saint Burlesque will entertain, challenge, empower, confuse, embrace, and deeply engage the audience, weaving feminist activism, international dialogue, and our sensory exploration for both ancient and modern myths about the feminine. Community-building events include open space World Cafe dialogues with inspirational Jane talks to explore issues important to women and a teen activist panel interwoven with intergenerational dialogues. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. That's www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for early bird specials throughout December.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Get sophisticated with David and Philip Zarza. David and Philip touch on topics such as human potential, spirituality, pop culture, and purposeful living. Experience an insightful reading from David on what the universe has in store for you, or reconnect with a departed loved one. Philip can look into an issue or anything else you may be dealing with. Go to getsophisticated.com. That's SOPHISTIGAYTED.com or call 206-420-8660. Get sophisticated with David and Philip Zarza. David and Philip touch on topics such as human potential, spirituality, pop culture, and purposeful living. Experience an insightful reading from David on what the universe has in store for you, or reconnect with a departed loved one. Philip can look into an issue or anything else you may be dealing with. Go to getsophisticated.com. That's SOPHISTIGAYTED.com or call 206-420-8660.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimeLightRadio.com.
Well, hello, this is Chris. I'm back on the air. Somehow I, this is the technology, got dropped off. Are you there, Judith?
I'm here, yes. Hello.
Hello. Okay, I hope you've been talking away and telling everybody about what you're doing and about.
No, actually, I didn't continue when I finished speaking and you weren't there. I was like, hello, and then your technician came on. So I just stopped talking because I didn't even know if I was still on the air.
Okay, we have 5 more minutes. That's fine. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I kept trying to figure out how come my microphone's not working.
This high-tech world we're living in, right?
It is. And that's not something that's necessarily part of rites of passages.
No, it certainly is not.
So one of the things, we've had a very interesting time with your workshop because at first, it was blood mysteries. We stated at first that it was going to, so it's for women who do bleed, so that was going to be for women born women. And then it became kind of controversial, a transgender woman, which we have some in our community, were getting upset, mostly because they saw the title, A Rite for a Rite, and wanted to go to a rite ceremony.
Right.
And,
So it was quite the interesting process because the first thing that happened to me is I got an email from a friend of mine, a transgendered woman who I've been friends with for many years. And, she was very upset, and she was upset by the language that was used to describe it, which was something about the CSI, which I guess is an abbreviation of a Latin term for biologically female women who are born that way or yeah, I think that's what it describes. And she thought that was blatantly discriminatory. And and then I spoke with another transgendered woman who's actually on the WOW Council, and she said, no, that's not discriminatory language. And I just figured, I really don't know what is the proper language. And in my use of the words women born women, that wasn't to exclude anyone so much as it was to be very clear about what the content of the workshop would be, because I've gone to workshops where people have said one thing and then what happens there is something very different, and I wanted to make sure that no one came there who didn't know and expect that this was going to be an acknowledgement for their experience with menstruation. And so I guess naively thought that if there were transgendered women, that of course this wouldn't apply to them. So I wanted them to know, rather than saying you can't come. But of course it didn't land that way. It landed like you're not welcome. And then I got an email from another woman, and I don't know if she's in the WOW community or just saw what my workshop was about. And she sent me a couple of emails that were, quite strong in her language and her upset about it. And it really caused me to ponder not only, how insidious discrimination is, even when we don't intend it, but how important words are and the words that we use. And ultimately what I came to is that, a rite of passage for a blood mysteries ritual is a way to heal women from whatever wounding they have experienced about being a woman. And then it occurred to me that there would be transgendered women who, of course, would feel wounds about not menstruating if they obviously feel that they are women but just were born in the wrong gender. And so I had a complete, not epiphany about the plight of transgendered women so much, but just like an expansiveness about what this type of rite of passage could be or who it could expand to include. And so now we've just left it that any woman who identifies as a woman shall come, and however, whoever arrives, we will acknowledge her for who she is, a woman, as a woman, in any way that we can. So it was quite an experience for me because I thought I was just being clear, but turns out I was landing in a very discriminatory way, and it was a wake-up call. It was a good wake-up call for me,
Yeah, well, it's something we've been working on a lot. But we've even checked with, because we have a transgender woman on our council, and she said it was fine to have it be for women born only because this is what it was about, you know, menstrual cycle and all that. And so we kind of got, okay, we're good, because that's our, you know, where we go to get our answers. And you know,
exactly. We would trust her.
And everybody's different within all communities. So, you know, it's all a learning experience. And then on the other hand, it might upset people if there are transgender people in a rite of passage. And, you know, it gets to be a really controversial thing. And we're all learning. And we need to be very, you know, accommodating and compassionate for...
Yes.
Tolerant and compassionate for...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was quite an interesting journey. You know, I mean, I had this big like, I'm going to be making people angry, and including, you know, some people that I've known and loved for a long time. And whoa, that wasn't my intention. But you know what they say, right? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know, here I was just being very clear about who this would apply to, and I ended up hurting feelings. So it was a very interesting little process to go through all this thing. And at one point I thought, oh my God, this was a huge mistake. I should never have never proposed this workshop. But, you know, ultimately I think everything really happens for a reason, and there's always something to learn. And for me, it was to learn that the wounds around being a woman are not necessarily confined to biologically born women, women born women. So that was my little journey around this whole thing, which was quite interesting and good.
Yeah, and I think there's room for, because I thought of this a couple years ago too, of having workshops or rites of passage for women who are transgender who aren't able to have this kind of life process change that we all go through, but they do maybe psychologically or emotionally want to, or you know, want to have that sense of that experience of maybe you know, some say that they will mentally and emotionally, you know, they came into this life feeling like they were a woman but in a man's body, and so they may, you know, still have that same need for that, and there's no opportunity for that in our
culture.
Right,
that's exactly what I came to. So if there are any transgendered women who do attend my workshop, I will do my best to address that for them, you know. And for all I know, all this was a whole lot of hoopla about nothing, and no transgendered women will come, and I'll just do what I originally planned. But either way, you know, I've come to a place of way more openness about the needs, you know, and those needs were very clearly shown to me. And I am very grateful to the women who stepped forward to voice, you know, their truth and to open my mind a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, well, so we look forward to having... Yeah, we look forward to having the workshop again. It's Saturday, February 14th, our Rite for a Rite, a Blood Mysteries ritual. And check out Judith's website. Going to judithlaxer.com or gaiastemple.org. And, you know, if you're in Seattle, check out the Gaia's Temple services they have the second Sunday of the month, right?
That's correct. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, and we have to get off the air to bring in another guest soon for the show. So we're going to come back, and I'll be talking with Irene Hausinger, who is doing a workshop on the goddess and yoga. So interesting, combinations of things that we come up with around the goddess and how it all relates. It all relates. So
thank you so much for having
the show
me
today,
Chris.
Judith.
Thank you, Chris. We'll see you at the conference, and have a great time in Cambodia.
Yep. Thank you. Okay,
you're welcome.
So we're going to take a quick break now, and then we'll come back and talk with Irene Hausinger.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference. Join us Valentine's Day Saturday. Inheritance Maiden Mother Crone by Sinner Saint Burlesque will entertain, challenge, empower, confuse, embrace, and deeply engage the audience, weaving feminist activism, international dialogue, and our sensory exploration for both ancient and modern myths about the feminine. Community-building events include open space World Cafe dialogues with inspirational Jane talks to explore issues important to women and a teen activist panel interwoven with intergenerational dialogues. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. That's www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for early bird specials throughout December.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Get sophisticated with David and Philip Zarza. David and Philip touch on topics such as human potential, spirituality, pop culture, and purposeful living. Experience an insightful reading from David on what the universe has in store for you, or reconnect with a departed loved one. Philip can look into an issue or anything else you may be dealing with. Go to getsophisticated.com. That's SOPHISTIGAYTED.com or call 206-420-8660.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and now we're bringing in my next guest is Irene Hausinger. She is a faculty member of the Social and Human Services Department at Seattle Center College, and she's currently working on her dissertation, Yoga as a Transformative Catalyst of Change in the Lives of Women Inmates. Now, Irene has had 13 years of yoga teaching experience and firmly believes in yoga service and social justice activism. Irene has been a volunteer with Yoga Behind Bars and has shared yoga with women and families in transitional housing, substance abuse treatment, and juvenile court. She's also a Reiki practitioner teacher and believes in creative education and urban homesteading. And she's going to give a workshop at the conference on Sunday morning, February 15th, called Experience the Goddess Through Yoga. So welcome, Irene.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so first, just maybe give us a brief recap of how you got into, you know, being interested in the yoga as a practice and what that has done for you personally, how it benefits people.
Absolutely. It actually started off as a father-daughter bonding activity when I was 13 years old. My father asked me if I wanted to take yoga with him. He was a criminal justice instructor at the community college in our town, and there was a yoga instructor there that was also a college faculty member, and so he was really interested. And so we started going to, this was before yoga studios were really prevalent, we started going to the Y, and then eventually our yoga teacher opened a studio and she became my mentor. So it started off as the father-daughter activity. He stopped doing it and I continued, and then the rest of my family continued as well. It's meant to me stability. There's definitely a spiritual aspect, but on the physical side, I was involved in a very severe car accident, and I have a lot of mobility, and I recovered 150% because of the yoga. And it's also been a constant source of stability for me, especially working in social services where there can be a lot of vicarious trauma and stress just because of the nature of what we've been doing.
Mm-hmm. So you've been working in yoga for 13 years now, and is there a difference in what you do versus, you know, it's sort of this modern day yoga, and what do you see as lacking, if there is anything lacking, and from the, you know, there's a concept of sort of an ancient type of yoga system.
Absolutely. There's actually been some really great literature produced about those different topics recently, because we have this ancient Indian yoga culture that developed in cave monasteries in the Himalayas, a lot of different things. And in the West, we commonly put yoga as a synonym for asana, which is a physical practice, when yoga is so much deeper. The word yoga actually means union. It comes from the word meaning yoke, such as the yoke that would be on an ox's back. That's where the word comes from. And so in the West, we often see that yoga is just very, oh, I'm doing my yoga practice, I'm doing my physical pose, I'm focusing on doing something really tricky and cool looking. But the rest of it is lost, the self-discipline, the discovery of the self, the appreciation of the body. And so we see different camps. We have the industrialized media type portrayal of yoga, which looks a lot like mainstream, very, very mainstream, very thin, very toned, very not really a representation of who's doing yoga. And then we have the yoga researchers and then the yoga service workers, such as the grassroots activists. And so we see that those two camps are in opposition of each other. And the literature that's been produced is really looking at how that's a deficit in American culture. And in the past couple of years, the number of people practicing yoga have actually decreased from about 16 million people to 2 million people, kind of because the fad of yoga is wearing off. So we're seeing it utilized in different ways, especially in social service and social justice venues.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would love to talk about, well, let's get into, because you're bringing in the archetypal goddess into, you know, collaborating that with yoga. And let's talk about that connection and how you came to realize that, you know, the connection between the two of those.
I was teaching a woman's spirituality class for my doctoral program, and it was a very experience-based class. And in our book, we had these different exercises that we are asked to do. So the book was about creative goddesses, different goddesses from different traditions, and it was actually an art book. But at the end of each chapter, there were these different types of exercises that we were asked to do. And I noticed that one of them was actually the same as a yoga pose. We were asked to experience and look at this imagery of the bird-headed snake goddess from Babylonian times, and it was exactly the image of chair pose. And I realized how powerful it was. I have a very badly behaving bulldog. And at the time, he was very young and didn't pay attention or mind me at all. And so I was experiencing this posture, and I sink into the posture, and the dog actually entered the room at the time I was doing this. And the minute I assumed the pose, he sat down and looked at me. And I'm like, wow, what an amazingly strong posture. So I realized that there's a different type of strength in the yoga posture. We're embodying these different types of archetypes or different types of attributes. And that posture was a very authoritative goddess posture. And so then that piqued my interest, and I started doing more research and just looking at art and realizing that so many statues and pictures and carvings of goddesses and female figures are exactly like yoga poses.
Oh, that's interesting. So how, in doing that then, what do you see that benefit of being aware of this goddess pose and the yoga poses And I know the whole thing with archetypes and yoga, you know, the creating a union of body, mind, and spirit. And so do you feel that response that people get from doing this with the awareness, you know, of the goddess archetypes, does it make it a deeper experience for people, for women in particular? I mean, it could be for anybody. It doesn't need to be just women, just because it's a goddess.
I do believe that it is a deeper experience for several reasons. One that we mentioned is that many times when you go to a yoga class, especially outside of a studio environment, so sometimes we're at a gym or a health club, it's very aerobic based. And certainly there's nothing wrong with that, but we're looking more at fitness then instead of that mind-body-breath control and instead of bringing out those different elements. One of the reasons I think that play therapy and things of that nature are so important, or drama therapy, is because we're drawing in different aspects of the self. And we can absolutely do that when we're taking on different qualities. In the yoga literature, we see that there are poses that are designed for specific things, such as building confidence and warrior pose, Virabhadrasana 1, 2, and 3. And so we see that those things are examined as indications for how we can bring these aspects of ourselves, or how we can build that. If I have a deficit in confidence, if I start practicing warrior pose, I can bring that in and embody that. And so then linking that to the attributes of the different goddesses is very empowering and definitely needed when we're feeling lacking.
Mm-hmm. And how is the response then from people, or how do you see that impact their lives when they actually embrace this you know, combination of the goddess statuary art and yoga asana?
I think it's something that's been noticed but kind of overlooked. And I also think that it adds an element of, wow, I have these attributes inside me. Especially, we see one of the main reasons that people don't practice yoga is because they're not a size 2 and 110 pounds, or they feel that maybe they're too heavy to practice yoga, or they're disenfranchised or in a vulnerable state. And so when we bring these other aspects in, it's another way to get over that. This is yoga culture. This is what I have to look like. This is what I'm expected to do. I'm not a good yogi unless I can do a one-handed, you know, pose. So it brings it down to a more accessible level, but also awakening those kind of latent attributes inside.
Well, you mentioned that. I was wondering about that because, you know, you see these flexible bodies and people who could do, I mean, I remember going to a class at a gym and I couldn't do half the stuff that people could do. And I thought, wow, I used to do this before. And as you get older, you know, so what about being older and you're not as flexible? Can you still do yoga at any age? How do you approach that?
It's pretty fascinating to see, especially people that have been practicing maybe when they're younger and they stop for 20 or 30 years. It's a matter of muscle memory. So once you start practicing the yoga again, that all comes back. We teach yoga to people with all different types of abilities. We teach yoga to people that are wheelchair bound or weight encumbered, or maybe they're going through oncology treatment. Certainly in the prisons, we notice that a lot of people have body issues in regards to adverse childhood experiences. And the adverse childhood experience study was one of the first studies that actually was able to link negative things happening to you in childhood as a predictor for failing health as an adult, not only physical health, but behavioral and emotional health as well. So in a prison environment, we see a lot more ACEs represented. And so our students in the prison environment have a lot more concerns. They might have had multiple injuries and traumas or surgeries. And so when we're looking at it from not necessarily a fitness aspect, but a wellness aspect, especially for yoga service, then we're really seeing more people access yoga and having that paradigm shift. Oh, wow, this absolutely does benefit me. And I don't have to put my leg behind my head to get a benefit. And I don't want to put my leg behind my head to get a benefit.
Mm-hmm. So how have you seen so we want to talk more about experience in prisons with women who, I'm assuming you're working with women inmates. So
tell us a little bit more of the experience that you have with them and how that has helped them, whether, you know, adapt at being in prison or their health and all that.
I've been working with an agency, Seattle-based agency called Yogopine Bars, and they've been operating since about 2007, and they provide yoga to men, women, and children in about 9 different facilities across Western Washington. And it's been great, especially with the research that just started in November that we've been doing. It took us about 2 years to get permission, so this has been something that is a long time coming. We're administering surveys that have both quantitative and qualitative answers on them, and so some of the most rich data is the write and answers about what people are getting out of the yoga practices. And one of the kind of the side effects is the survey itself has actually prompted some of the students to think about issues on a deeper level, such as I noticed that I don't get angry as often, I'm having better relationships with the correctional officers here, or I think one of the most profound write and answers that I've seen recently is yoga saves me. Thank you so much for coming every week, and just an outpouring of gratitude. We see a variety of reasons why people come to yoga, and a lot of our students are quite athletic, and they're participating on basketball teams or volleyball teams or the Relay for Life, or they're weightlifting a lot and they injure themselves. And so the yoga actually kind of helps combat that. It can take a while to get into the doctor when you're incarcerated. And so we're noticing that the yoga is actually helping other things that they're already doing for wellness, or maybe even bringing the aspect of wellness in where they didn't have it before. I think one of the biggest feedback that I had personally recently was a lady saying, you know, I wanted to do yoga about a year ago, and I thought I was too fat. I have this huge stomach roll, and I just didn't think I could do yoga. And then I realized, well, maybe yoga would help me with that, and I got over myself, and I decided to come, and I'm so excited because it makes my whole body feel better.
Mm-hmm. And how is it? Because, you know, I've heard that yoga, well, you're not going to lose weight doing yoga. Are you, you know, and so what are the, is that true, or can you, you know, she's talking about this big stomach roll. Has that helped her physically, or is it more of a matter of accepting your body and realizing you can do things anyway, regardless of what shape you're in?
I think it's a little bit of column A and column B. When we have an acceptance and our body isn't the enemy anymore, then we tend to see better results. And so the instructors are always fostering a sense of appreciate your body, how it moves. Our body is a great history and record of our lives. And so we see that acceptance piece there too. Now, it really depends what type of yoga. There's so many different types of yoga. And when we're talking about physical practices, then there's other things like karma yoga, which is service work and all different types of things that aren't actually doing physical poses, but maybe a way of thinking or being or doing. But the physical yoga, I mean, there are so many different types. If somebody was to go onto the Yoga Alliance website and browse, there's hundreds of different of registered types of yoga. So there's power yoga and kundalini yoga and restorative yoga, where you're just lying on the ground for the whole time doing different things. So we do see weight loss with maybe some of more the aerobic types of yoga, but we're really toning and conditioning the central nervous system and the body and making our organs work more effectively. So there is a detox that takes place as well too, and that can help lead to weight loss. They also did a fascinating study recently, I believe at Brown University, and they were asking the question, does doing yoga lead you to want to eat more vegetables? And the answer was, yes, it does. And that was the pilot study. And they were trying to figure out what exactly is the correlation. Is it just vegetables? Is it having a healthier lifestyle? So the preliminary findings showed that engaging in a wellness activity like yoga was more likely to help you engage in other activities that would lead to healthier well-being and weight loss, ultimately.
Yeah, and I think that's, yeah, because it connects that whole thing you're talking about mind, body, spirit, that it connects, you know, you're doing things physically, it's going to
have an impact on you emotionally. And then mentally, we even want to, you know, look for the healthier foods. I'm even wondering, because I'm having trouble sleeping right now, but I'm in my stress time before conference. And I think my husband was just talking to mention something about something he had read about yoga helping out and something. I forget what he said. But so there's lots of benefits for doing. And I'm wondering, you know, is yoga any better than any other kind of exercise? You know, because there's a need to exercise, period, you know, even just going for walks. But what's unique about yoga in that aspect?
That is such a rich question, and there's so much written about that. And we'll also see, I'm glad you brought that up, because there are other people add yoga to different things. There's a great book on yoga and walking, or yoga for equestrians, yoga for runners. There's actually a yoga advisor to the New York City Marathon. So we see a lot of those different things, and it's just amazing how everything's complementary. And we'll also see these things at complementary medical conferences as well, not just necessarily yoga conferences. There was one study that I would like to bring up that was really interesting that was done in regards to female caretakers of their elderly partners. And they wanted to see if yoga was really different than other types of relaxation, not necessarily exercise, but relaxation. These women weren't really capable of a lot of exercise. So what they found, these women that they studied were average age of about 70, and their partners were older than they were, and they were the sole caretaker. And so that's a lot of work. And they asked the ladies, okay, here's a relaxation music tape. It'll take about 10 to 12 minutes. And that actually raised their stress level. They said, are you crazy? We can't sit down and relax. Well, the other part of that study was chanting or looking at Kundalini yoga mantras. And there's actually one that's about 14 minutes long. It's one of the primary ones. And they found that chanting and really getting in touch with the breath and a mantra type thing, mantras are essential to yoga, actually reduce stress a lot exponentially. So we do see that yoga practices, whether it's actually an asana, a posture, or something like breath work or concentration or meditation, really, really have a greater effect than just relaxation. Some people relax by zoning out on television or something else, but when you're combining that breath with a concentration and a focus of embodiment, that's really where you're seeing a difference.
Yeah, that's so great. Well, thank you so much. And everybody, Irene is giving this workshop, Experience a Goddess Through Yoga, on February 15th. So thank you for being on the show today, Irene.
Thank you for having me. This was a blast.
Okay. And I want to remind people, just go to womanofwisdom.org. And I also want to announce we have a special event at the conference. This is the only thing happening Sunday afternoon. It's called, we've changed the title and the description, and we've updated it. It's Northwest Woman of Influence, Circle of Inspiration. We're going to have women leaders in social change in the areas of sustainability, environment, empowering girls, racial justice, social justice. We've got leaders from some organizations in Seattle giving mini what we call Jane talks instead of TED talks. They're Jane talks. We'll be talking circles, open space dialogues where we can all together explore these issues that are important for women to create the changes that we want in our world. And we reduce the price. We want everybody to come, make it affordable for everybody. So check that out on Sunday, February 15th. Check out the whole conference. We've got Jean Shinoda Bowen, Patty Conklin, a healer, doing a two-day intensive healing training, and Penny Pierce, who's the author of Frequency and Leap for Perception. You'll be hearing them on my show in the next few weeks. So, and also check out my book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And you can find that on our Woman of Wisdom website. So have a great weekend, everybody, and we look forward to talking to you next week. I'll have two more guests, Susan Partnow and our artist, Joe Jason from New York. Have a great weekend.
Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.